Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Interior Paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter Paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Welcome, Rebels, into the Rebellion. Welcome to Redacted on this Monday. So glad to have all of you here. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
The Bumblebee sweater has made its appearance again.
Back in the bee shirt. The bee is a crowd favorite if you're new to Redacted.
You haven't worn this like in a year.
It's like, I think I've worn it like 3 times in a year.
Yeah.
It gets like a disproportionate amount of comments.
Well, it's because women, and it's funny because like a shirt like that will stand out. For women, you know, much more focus on you guys. There was a news anchor that literally wore the same suit and tie and shirt every day for a year and then released a video about it talking about how men,
nobody noticed
him,
but you
him
wear different
all.
Ties, right?
Yeah, like they noticed the female co-anchor, but they didn't notice him at all.
So yeah. That's how okay. All right. The Bumblebee shirt's here.
Yeah.
Back by popular demand.
So welcome in on this Monday. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Hope you're not an Eagles fan like me and had something to upset you about. But we do have a busy show for you on this Monday to get to. We're going to look at the very latest on this China UFO Russia flap over the weekend, a fourth object shot down. I have a different take on this whole story, and we're going to dissect how this may have actually been predicted well over a year ago by the FBI. So we're going to unpack all of this weird strangeness, but it is absolutely crazy, and they're really, really gearing us up for World War III with all of this talk right now, especially over the past 24 hours.
Plus, as the Biden administration continues to escalate in Ukraine, we have a story about depleted uranium tanks. We were talking to a friend about it today. He goes, that's bad. Yeah. So I'm just going to warn you. I'm going to give away the lead and let you know it is not good.
Yeah.
And we also are going to tell you about disruption in Ethiopia, where the government has turned off access to the internet in order to clamp down on protests around the Orthodox Christian Church. It's a story that hasn't received a lot of international news, but we think it's worthy to know what's going on, and we have a fabulous guest to tell us all about it.
Also, no vaccine? Sorry, you're not getting a social security check. We'll tell you where that's happening and the threats from the government. We knew this was coming. If you don't have the vaccines, we're mandating them, you're not going to get any kind of government assistance. Hand slap. We'll tell you where that's coming. All of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Welcome, everybody. Hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. Welcome to Redacted. On this show, we tend to cover the stories that the mainstream media largely ignores, but the mainstream media was all over our top story this weekend, just not in the way that I think that we want to understand it. So we're going to contextualize this big UFO balloon story for you on the show. We do have a daily newsletter where we cover kind of the things you might have missed overnight when you're waking up, having your cup of coffee. Again, it's totally free. All you need to do is go to redacted.inc, put in your name, your email, and then you'll receive a welcome email from me, clayton@redacted.inc. That's the email address. And then just go and verify. You have to verify it, otherwise you won't receive it. So click there and verify. And then tomorrow morning at around 6:30 a.m. Eastern time, you'll receive the newsletter first thing in the morning.
Why are you squinting?
Was I squinting?
Yeah. Can you not? You need your glasses on, honey.
Put on those glasses, young man.
I don't know what I wasn't reading anything.
You
I just was like
this.
I was like Costanza in Seinfeld with the grapefruit in his eye again.
Okay.
Like,
all right. I mean, I brought home a Costco size haul of eye drops.
Like, are you winking at me?
So
no, you know what it was? I was just building a shelf and I was like, and I was like in the dark and doing it. And you know, you're banging upside down with like the drill and you're like reading.
Ooh, did you use your flashlight gloves?
No, but that would have been a great use of them. And I will on the next thing. So for Christmas in my stocking, Natalie got me gloves that have a flashlight on the fingers.
So like when you're working in the car or changing your oil or doing, like you're drilling things, then you have light on where you're working. It shows a video like of people using their phones to try and like the phone light to do stuff.
Oh, that's
clumsy.
The worst.
That's the,
Do you shop? Do you shop at As Seen on TV or something? Like, yeah, I've never seen this.
That's what,
they were advertised to me on Twitter. I don't know why, what I was saying that allowed, I don't know, but you want these, you guys. They weren't very expensive. I think they were like $12. Every man in my family got them for Christmas, and I was very popular for that awesome
and
gift.
I was walking around with like lightsaber fingers. I'm like, kinda you guys like, need anything fixed? I've got light bulbs right here on my fingers.
Do they have an RGB version?
You guys look up flashlight like, gloves.
Ding, ding, ding.
Let's see. Yeah. Okay. If you look up like in your search engine, type in flashlight gloves and basically what comes up is what they are. And they're awesome. You want them. I'm telling you, you do.
Great.
Philip, would you say no to those?
Not sponsored.
There's a lot of things in the dark that you might need flashlight hands for. I'm just saying.
Oh, you they know, have find, them on Amazon.
Yeah, I mean,
find your way around.
I don't know that it's something I need. I wouldn't say no to it, but I don't know that
you don't know you need it until you see it. That's really what it is.
Yeah, I imagine.
So that's Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs.
Okay, I'm putting it in the chat right now.
All right, there it is in the chat. So there you go. You can check it out. yeah. Whatever.
Wait, now you're squinting again.
Just making sure you put in a fill.
All right, let's get to the news, shall we? Let's get to our top story, and let's talk about this crazy balloon UFO story, shall we?
Yeah.
The globalists spent all freaking weekend scaring us about UFO attacks around the world, and I believe, guys, this is all a major distraction to take our mind off of two major items, which we'll get to in just a second. Folks, you are watching literally a disinformation campaign of the highest order being waged on your brains right now from the ground up. You should grab your pencils, grab your pens, wake up grandma. And this is something that actually should be taught in colleges in a couple of years. Like how the government perpetrated a propaganda disinformation campaign in order to get us into World War III, essentially. And we're going to, you're watching it carry out sort of step by step by step in real time and watching how the media is totally complicit in this propaganda campaign. And they're carrying out this false narrative that China and perhaps Russia are sending dangerous war balloons to attack us with payload, with explosive payloads that are going to drop on our house, because that would be highly effective use of our time. Like a random balloon with a payload of explosives just randomly landing on some house somewhere in God knows where. In like Miamisburg, Ohio.
That's not scary.
Like you can't even control the damn thing. I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous. The media is totally complicit in this story. And we have we on this show have resisted the BS from the very beginning. But it's first really important to realize that whenever the corporate media and the White House are reporting the very same thing, like in lockstep, and frankly, Congress too. You have a few dissenting voices, but mostly they're all on the same page about this. We should all run away from it. You should all run away. That should be your first indication that we are being played like a fiddle. If you see all the nightly newscasts, which over the past 24, 48 hours have all been on the same page with this story, they've all been put out basically by the Pentagon. Like, here are the talking points, run with this, and then go do your nightly newscasts, NBC, CBS, and the rest of them. And they all led with this story. They've all been leading with this story over the past 48 hours. Watch.
Breaking news tonight, the U.S. shoots down yet another flying object today, the fourth in just over a week. This one over Lake Huron.
New this hour, dramatic new details about the unidentified object shot down by fighter jets just miles off the coast of Alaska yesterday. Unlike the Chinese spy balloon shot down last Saturday, this object demanded more immediate action yesterday.
But first, the new questions tonight after the White House revealed just this afternoon that an F-22 fighter jet shot down another object flying over Alaska.
Or is there something more to be concerned about here?
Well, I think, Jim, the big thing is that obviously there's heightened awareness now at this point. So, you had the incident a week ago where we shot down the Chinese surveillance balloon, who were pretty convinced that that's exactly what that was. And then we start seeing all these other objects. Clearly, the radar operators for NORAD are very sensitive now to anything that even looks remotely like an unusual object in the skies.
Okay. All right. So should we be concerned about it? He says dramatic new details. Really? Dramatic about a balloon? dramatic new details about all of this. Never before have we had the Pentagon and the White House coming out holding like press conferences reporting on UFOs. Unbelievably, like you're literally seeing the Pentagon coming out talking about UFOs and reporters are asking about it was like pulling teeth to get anyone to ask a question.
And that graphic that they just showed was really comical. It was like unknown thing, .. 50,000 other unknown thing, .. 40,000
feet.
Like,
yeah.
The
balloon to UFO ratio graph that the geniuses.
It's like sort of wordism, just a bunch of words that like we're supposed to be afraid because they put it into a graphic.
I mean, I just would love to ask our chat right now. We're all watching live right now. Do you guys believe this? Do you guys believe this propaganda that they're spinning to you right now? I'm going to show you just a few kind of points on this, and maybe we can all make up our own minds on this. And maybe we're totally wrong. Maybe we're actually under attack by either UFOs, aliens right now, or China. Like they're literally attacking us with balloons. But you see,
or our own sort of government, right?
Yeah, or well, that's another big piece of this. Yes, or is it us that's doing this? So is it the United States doing this?
Just I mean, there's like a finite amount of possibilities. One, it's not happening, and it's like graphic design.
Right.
Two, that it's aliens. Three, that it's foreign actors. Four, that it's
us.
Yeah, that it's internal. That's pretty much it. So we have to pick one.
And so if we look at history, which we will in a second, you might answer number four on your list. Oh, there's a history of us doing this to ourselves? Yeah, there is. So my favorite moment came yesterday when Patrick Murphy, the former Secretary of the Army, was saying the quiet part out loud, admitting that America and NATO are at war with Russia. He admits this right on camera. And in the Ukraine, and that all of these China UFOs are an indication that we need to be ready for war with China. This is the biggest threat to your life right now. Watch.
I think we're sending a message of what would happen, you know, in Ukraine. Obviously, we had this incredible coalition, as you know, pushing back on the Russian invasion. And I think it's sending a message, hopefully it's sending the right message to China, that the world will rally around us if they keep messing around.
But Secretary, the country's got to rally around this single entity, China. Everything from the farmland they're buying, from the schools they're taking over, from the corporations that sold their soul in order to get cheap goods. This has got to be a whole government and country approach.
Yeah, I'd say a whole of nation approach, as you said, Brian. And what people need to understand in our great country is that we're the underdog here. We're a third of their size. Right. And I'm not just talking about geographic population. And
they have more ICBMs, mobile and fixed, than we do.
Right, and that's why, you know, listen, America at our best is the reluctant warrior, but we're a warrior. And we need to make sure, you know, when you have less than 1% of the country that's serving, and you only have 26% of the country that can even serve because of the obesity crisis in America and some other things, we need to wake up and understand that we have a competitor out there in China that thinks they're the preeminent power in the world. We don't want any unnecessary wars, but we have to always prepare for the worst, God forbid.
We got to prepare for the worst. So that's why we're seeing all of this. So we got to prepare for the worst. So they even brought out the big guns this weekend to really sell this story. And the White House trotted out Corinne Jean-Pierre, their hapless spokesperson, to make sure that make sense of all of these UFO attacks. Listen.
Why is the American military shooting something out of the sky over Canada?
Because it's part of NORAD. NORAD is part of a coalition,
a consortium.
A pact, okay. Exactly. And so that's why we were able to do that. Again, we didn't do it on our own. We did it in step with Canada.
So up there in Canada.
That wasn't super clear. Also, I thought NORAD just tracked Santa.
I mean, what a clown show that we're seeing right now. So, yeah, we had Canada. Canada took care of this. So we worked with NORAD and Canada to make sure that we got these things under control.
I hear NORAD, I still think of War Games, the movie War Games with Matthew Broderick.
Oh, yeah.
That's like
last
time I heard NORAD. Like, when was the last time you heard him talk about NORAD?
Well, our children use it to track Santa.
For tracking Santa. Like,
oh,
yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, that's about it.
They have a Santa tracker.
They tracked him.
Didn't you learn that from Edward Snowden?
Some people saying here, just real quick, and we can edit this out, but some people saying the stream is having issues here. Are you guys seeing this? Everyone on the stream, on the YouTube stream is saying, oh no, it stopped.
I
see this.
It's running for me, so.
Yeah, I see it here, but a bunch of people said it stopped, but I see, I don't know.
Yeah, it's, the server looks good. Everything looks good on the server.
Okay. A lot of people said they saw. And then, yeah, a lot of people on Rumble saying, yeah, YouTube was down. So if you, well, we have two streams. You can watch us on Rumble, rumble.com/redacted, or you can watch us on YouTube. So maybe YouTube had an outage or something. I don't know. But we're back up now, but
yeah,
we see a huge dip. Yeah. We went from like 20,000, 22,000 viewers down to like 10 because it cut off the stream. So anyway,
I still see it on YouTube's end.
Cause I still see it running on my end.
Okay. And yeah, I had it streaming actually. So I could put in the link to the flashlight gloves and it was streaming just fine.
Maybe you should close
it. I turned it off because I saw people saying that something was wrong. So I.
Okay. Anyhow. Close that browser. All right. Anyway, so we're back. Well, you even had the head of the Senate, Senator Chuck Schumer, being trotted out to scare the hell out of us about these balloons. Remember, he's a Democrat. Your president of the United States is also a Democrat. You'd never, ever have a fellow party member playing up something like this unless they wanted you to feel scared. Like, good cop, bad cop, but we're all on the same team here. And you had a number of Democrats saying the same thing as Chuck Schumer this weekend. Like, we really need to be concerned about these balloons. Watch.
The first balloon, there was a much different rationale, which I think was the appropriate rationale. We got enormous intelligence information from surveilling the balloon as it went over the United States.
Didn't the Chinese get enormous intelligence as well?
Well, they could have been getting it anyway, but we have to know what they're doing, okay? And we don't know exactly, but we got a lot of that.
So, to be clear, we got a ton of intelligence data about a wayward balloon that they warned us about was off course and was just floating around. But we got tons of intelligence data. And then George Stephanopoulos says, well, wait a minute. Didn't they also get intelligence? Well, he's like, yeah, but they always get an intelligence. So again, here, they're just admitting that this is all a joke.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have these senile people who are caught in these moments of clarity, you get some of the truth here. So never before have we had the press corps actively, you know, questioning this stuff. It seems like are these secret Chinese, Russian spy balloons, aircraft drones? It doesn't matter what it is. I seem to remember, actually, a former FBI agent, John D'Souza, about a year ago or so, warning us that the deep state was going to use a fake UFO invasion in order to distract us from what's really going on. John D'Souza is a retired FBI special agent who served 25 years. He worked on counterterrorism and paranormal cases specifically. In fact, he had a top secret security clearance during his FBI career. He literally was the one that collected X-Files that were used in the show X-Files. Like, that's what his job was. He warned us that politicians are going to start talking about UFOs. They're going to start talking about unexplained objects, UAPs, as they call them, and trying to drum up fear, as he said, about a fake UFO invasion. He said this almost a year ago. Watch him, FBI, basically lay out their playbook. Watch.
They're going to have to do something else. And I think fake alien invasion is one of the main things they have ready. And here's one of the keys to understanding fake alien invasion, is that our military, for instance, our military industrial complex is so large, so huge, it's larger than many countries. There's segments of the Pentagon that I refer to as the dark Pentagon. It is military officials that are working with the cabal because they really need to get the fear up, to get back on the map with this fake alien invasion. And we're gonna see a lot more politicians start supporting the Tic Tacs and the UAPs. And they're all going to be getting online to support them and to show how important they are.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Isn't that crazy?
Where'd you dig that up?
Well, I know these guys. And so it's just like, I know that this has been talked about in these circles. Like, they're going to use this as an example.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see how they're literally laying out this playbook. But what's amazing is this the playbook that we're seeing right now unfold? Who knows? But guys, this has all happened before. Almost precisely exactly how this is laying out has happened before. Just 2 days after the attack on Pearl Harbor, unsubstantiated reports suddenly started proliferating all over the New York area about approaching aircraft that were coming in. They caused a minor invasion panic. People were freaking out. Stocks plummeted across New York City. So the stock market plummeted. People were freaking out. Where did those reports come from? We don't know. It didn't matter because it had the desired effect. People were freaking out about it. And that night, President Roosevelt led his fireside chat, famous fireside chats that he used to do. And he told Americans that we're declaring war on Japan. So, hey, all that fear that you had today, yeah, don't worry. That anxiety, we're going to go to war with Japan. So don't you worry about it. Then a few weeks later in February of 1942, to keep the heat on the war, you know, rhetoric for the American public, so we didn't forget about Pearl Harbor, we needed to keep this, you know, fire going, right? The U.S. government suddenly released a ton of weather balloons. Sound familiar? And they did this over Los Angeles. And they were all designed basically to look like incoming attacking UFOs or aircraft. Like, what is descending suddenly on Los Angeles? Searchlights lit up the sky. Air raid sirens blared over Los Angeles. Anti-aircraft fire. This was the scene. Here it is. This was the Battle of Los Angeles, it became known. Everyone freaked out just as they planned. Wow, look at all those crazy objects. Is that Japan about to attack us? Can Mr. President, can you protect us from the invaded, the evildoers, the invaders? Made all the newspapers, of course, searchlights and anti-aircraft guns comb the sky during an alarm. Everyone freaked out about it. It made all the newspapers and became known as the Battle of Los Angeles. And, you know, are there aliens attacking us? No, it's the Japanese. It doesn't matter. Or is it just weather balloons? It doesn't matter. Just go along with it. Start firing the anti-aircraft guns. And America was sold the idea of going deeper into the bloody war to protect ourselves from Japan, of course. So a fake foreign invasion is what they're doing here. Former Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, yesterday, and he knows more than he's saying in this tweet. He knows this is fake. Look at this tweet last night from Mike Flynn. Be very careful chasing shiny objects, he tweets. Just when you least expect, you'll get punched so hard in the nose, you'll not recover. Steady, boys. Steady.
Okay, who's the boys that he's talking to? The American military?
I guess. You guys let me know in the chat. Who is Mike Flynn talking about there? Like, who is he talking to?
Who's doing the punching and whose nose?
I think what he's saying is like, oh, Congress, these military guys, all right, we're chasing these things up in the sky. We're doing something here. What are we doing? Are we doing stuff to stir up? Because what's going to happen is once we stir up this hornet's nest and we start to really provoke a war with Russia, which
so
is...
So it's collective American nose will get punched by foreigners, by foreign military.
Right. You think you're going to go up against China and Russia simultaneously? When we literally have an army right now that can't even get its recruitment numbers up. And as you heard Patrick Murphy just a few minutes talk about like the obesity epidemic in the United States, like we're the fattest country in the world now. The new numbers just came out. America's the fattest country in the world. We're not ready. So you're going to fight a two-pronged war against Russia and China? Go ahead, David.
To be fair, I don't think we could fight one of them on their own right now.
No,
you know, let alone both.
I don't think we should fight either.
Would be the BRICS nations.
We are fighting Russia right now.
Mm-hmm.
And all of NATO is fighting Russia right now. And they're losing badly. So we think we're going to be able to do this on our own or separate. I mean, it's unbelievable. So here's Arnaud Bertrand. I just want to put a pin in this. I love this tweet. He says, we're reaching a level of warmongering that is beyond terrifying. My timeline is filled with stuff like this, talking about basically going to war with China. What's wrong with people? Listen to yourselves. The only objective worthy of pursuit is peaceful coexistence, not defeat of China, military or otherwise. Big pre-World War I vibes that he's saying here. Yeah, that's right. And I just gave you an example of World War II vibes that were used to really catapult us into World War II. He's talking about World War I vibes.
I don't want those vibes.
He says this, yes, sadly, in response to another person saying World War I makes more sense now. It does when you think about it. Yes, sadly, we thought we'd grown and could never again reach the same level of insanity, but here we are. Our technology might evolve, but we clearly don't, which makes it even scarier. I would love to know.
Well, I responded to somebody. Go ahead. I responded to somebody on Twitter. It's like, I don't understand why everything that happens like this, our first inclination is to shoot it. Like, why is it always like, let's say aliens did come in peace, yeah, and we're gonna shoot at them, and it's gonna be like, oh, these people aren't peaceful, we're coming back with our military.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like, why is that always the first thing we do? That's like, we want to fearmonger and just take it down.
That was the plot I couldn't get behind Independence Day. was like, but
yeah,
wait, we're just,
you're going to shoot.
No,
it?
We don't ask questions.
Wait, it just landed on the White House lawn. What was the famous 1950s movie, the great science fiction movie where it lands like on the White House lawn or the, by the Washington Monument? What was it called?
I see the cover. I see the cover of it.
Somebody,
I can't think of it.
Yeah. Someone in the chat.
Alien
let us know.
Invasion or the invasion?
No, it's called like from here to tomorrow or tomorrow something or something about tomorrow, I think. Right. If anyone knows what I'm talking about, let drop it in the chat.
I don't know, but I think the fact that we're going back and forth from like, is it China? Is it Russia? Is it aliens? Is exactly the narrative that helps to distract.
Yes.
And helps to sell a war that we wouldn't otherwise choose.
Yes, and that's exactly what they want. And so, as John D'Souza was saying, like, this is their Hail Mary pass right now. Like, oh, we are being attacked. Oh, okay. We're being attacked here at home with like explosive balloons. Is that really them?
Balloons? That's too far.
That's too far. Or something is attacking us. Make sure you go after the source of it. So we got to go after China. The day the earth stood still. Thank you. That was the day the earth stood still. Yeah. It was a great, great classic.
That's what I was thinking, but I didn't say anything. But it's like I said last week, like, the U.S. really, really, really wants this weather balloon that flew over to be the equivalent of Russia shooting down the U-2. They yes. like want it to seem that way. Like it's that extreme level, you know, and like in all the tensions that were created in the downing of that U-2, like right. the U.S. really wants to make this into that. And yeah. it's yeah. just,
but do
to
you
me,
think,
it just doesn't seem.
And trotted out on television, like, we
weekend.
Got your guy, like, here's your guy. We got him. We'll trade him, but here's your guy. Like, and you know, you said you weren't spying on us. We shot it down, and here he is on television in Russia.
But sort of military buy-in is still at an all-time low. And over the weekend, the Associated Press ran a story about why military enrollment is down so much. And the headline literally said, it's not because the military is woke. It's because, you know, young people are afraid for their safety. Like young people, because they've been raised in a bubble, I guess, because of, you know, this like cult of safetyism, has made it so they are afraid to go off and get hurt. Reasonable. We're humans. We are all risk averse. But we don't have this sort of level of buy-in right now that makes us say like, well, it's worth it. I'll be brave. I'll go and, you know, risk my own life. And especially not, I've been reading this book I've mentioned a few times called The Coddling of the American Mind. And this cult of safetyism makes people so risk averse that is not good for a government military. Absolutely. It's not. But the Associated Press is telling you, literally telling you, people don't have a problem with wokeism. Wokeism, they're fine with. They will go off and die for a woke military, but they just don't want to die, period. It's a crazy narrative. It's the craziest thing.
Well, also crazy is the fact that the United States has literally no anti-war movement. And thank God this weekend in Washington, D.C., the Rage Against the War Machine rally is going to be held in Washington, D.C. We're going to have Nick Braun on, one of the organizers this week, because can you imagine in the United States, there's like no one is like pro-peace. Like there's no anti-war movement like we had in the 1960s or in the 1970s. It's gone. It's like dissipated. So they're doing their best to try to bring this back right now.
Yeah.
Because we've been just so, I don't know, brainwashed by the Pentagon.
There was even a vociferous anti-war movement after 9/11, where people who refused to buy into linking Afghanistan with Iraq, it was there. They were able to have a voice even before the proliferation of the internet the way we have it today. Yeah. We heard those voices. Now we simply are not. The algorithm
they were pushed
is suppressing
out.
Them.
They were pushed out in Congress. Holy smokes. Like they were squashed and
but
beat
they're
up.
They're beyond politicians.
Well, and now they're squashed on social.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Yeah, they're piled on, dogpiled, and everything else. So, you know,
I wanted to ask a question really quick. Are the leaders arrogant enough to think that they could actually take on Russia and China, and that our allies would actually, if we declared war on China and Russia, that our allies would be like, "Oh yeah, we're in. We'll back you up."
I think like, that they think they have really? Them enough by the balls, financially speaking. That they would have to, that they say like, oh, look at Syria, had a bad earthquake, have sanctions on them. Nobody can come running. Do you want to be like Syria? No, You're in this war then.
Yeah, you want to be like Iran? Oh, you want to be oil independent? Well, watch out for Western sanctions. We'll just sit on you for the past, you know, the next 20 years. Cuba, Russia, but it all fails.
Yeah.
You know, it all fails, right? And that's what we're seeing with Russia. The most sanctioned country in world history is now posting a high, an improved GDP higher than the UK, which was on the decline. Like, that just goes to show you, when you partner up with the right people, they're going to have your back and you can grow with them. So anyway, let us know your thoughts on this story in the chat below. We've got more news to get to here on this Monday, but we're going to keep our eye on this story. We're also, yes, going to be watching very closely. We're working on a deeper dive tomorrow on tomorrow's show. What in the world is going on in Ohio? We're getting reports from some different journalists on that story. And one of our correspondents is working on that right now. So we're looking at the very latest on what's happening in Ohio. But we don't want to jump the gun on that. We want to bring you the facts as we find them, and we will cover that story here on the show. But we're also going to cover what's going on with those Abrams tanks that we're about to send to Russia or to Ukraine in order to fight Russia. Will they have some sort of special munitions attached to those tanks, the likes of which left all sorts of birth defects and problems in Iraq? We will cover that story. But first...
First, I want to tell you about our friends over at Private Internet Access. Now, this is a timely sponsor. We didn't plan it this way, but it turns out that the story we're going to tell you later in the show about Ethiopia is that in Ethiopia, the government turned off internet access to most social media and most connective sites because they were trying to tamp down on protests around the Christian church. So... this could happen to you. Over the weekend, though, searches in Ethiopia for VPNs, or virtual private networks, increased something like 2,000% because obviously they wanted to get around government restrictions. That's why you need to know what a VPN is, be used to using it, and be able to use it, because it allows you to browse the web, not just in private, but also around government regulations that come and go that you just never know. In fact, did you ever feel like you're being watched and everything that's out there and, you know, you're sort of out of options? Well, right. But Private Internet Access is a leading VPN provider that works with all major services. So you can stream what you'd like to watch, you can get to the sites you'd like to get to, and there's no one stopping you. Plus, this VPN is really user-friendly. There are apps available for all devices, smart TVs included, and one subscription can be used on up to 10 devices. So it's also, like I said, just great to like watch shows in countries that maybe are not available to you or what have you. But you know, it's really important to have this at your disposal. We've heard from many viewers in France who are not able to access our Rumble site if they are without a VPN. So they use a VPN so that they can get to us because the government of France decided to censor Rumble. Rumble said, no way, Jose. And now they're litigating and that it's not available to them in that region. So if you want to enjoy all the benefits of Private Internet Access, now is the time to subscribe. Go to piavpn.com/redacted and get an 83% discount. That's piavpn.com/redacted. And that's just $2.03 a month. Plus you also get 4 extra months completely free, but you must go to this landing page. Tell them Redacted sent you. It's piavpn.com/redacted. Don't get caught without the internet. Have lots of options. A VPN is an important way.
Well, on January 25th, the Biden administration announced that it would be sending Abrams tanks to Ukraine, which is an obvious escalation of this war, something that President Biden said would lead to World War III. Apparently, that is out the window. But maybe lost in this whole story is what type of munitions will be used by these Abrams tanks. Remember those depleted uranium munitions that were found in Iraq, which of course maybe led to all sorts of birth defects in Iraq. We're not going to show you the images because they're absolutely horrible, but you can definitely do an internet or a Google search for depleted uranium birth defects Iraq if you want to seek out what those images look like. You'll see what I'm talking about. They're hard to look at. We might be seeing similar scenes playing out in Ukraine before long. Redacted correspondent Dan Cohen has this story. Dan, this is an obvious escalation. What did you find out about these munitions and about these Abrams tanks?
Yeah, Clayton. So when these tank deliveries were announced, the White House was asked in a background press briefing if it would be sending depleted uranium munitions. And the senior official that was on the line demurred and said, quote, "I'm not going to get into the technical specifics." But a look at the federal procurement register shows two contracts for depleted uranium 120-millimeter armor-piercing M829A4 munitions. These are made specifically for Abrams tanks. These contracts were first reported by the Bulgarian journalist Diliana Gaitansheva, who frankly is doing better reporting on the U.S. than most of or all of even the mainstream media.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's fantastic and doesn't get the credit she deserves. What's especially notable about this is that these contract tenders were listed in October and December, months before the Biden administration had announced it would be sending these 31 Abrams tanks. It's kind of suspicious timing here.
Yeah, wait a minute. So these are the munitions procurement contracts, and these were from October. And months ahead of time, we just learned in January 25th, as we just said, that they were going to be, and it seemed like they were hemming and hawing on this. Will we send Abrams tanks? We don't think we're going to. We're not going to do this. So sort of back and forth. But these contracts predate the announcement of the Abrams tanks by months.
Exactly. So, yeah, the question in my mind is, was this all planned out ahead of time, even before October? But, you know, there's evidence that these munitions there's direct evidence they were ordered in October and again in December, and then the decision maybe wasn't announced until January. So was this all planned out and kind of slowly fed to the public in order to minimize public reaction, not only here in the United States but from the Russians? And we've seen this kind of sort of game where Biden says he won't send, you know, long range missiles because it could be perceived by Russia as a dangerous escalation, and then he does it again and again. Even the New York Times has reported on this, on all of this waffling. But what's amazing, if you look at this headline, about the Biden administration always sending the weapons, ultimately sending them to Ukraine, the New York Times says that Biden does it reluctantly. So, he doesn't really want to. So they're really trying to downplay this and kind of, you know, slow roll it as best as possible. But
like he's just an unwitting participant in his own administration.
Exactly. I mean, poor old Joe, just, you know, and all of his advisors, they don't really want to do it, but they're being forced to because of evil Putin. So it's all Russia's fault. That's the message that, you know, we're being given by the New York Times and all of the corporate media that is, you know, of course, pro-war. But if you look at what the Russians have said about this, they said that they consider sending depleted uranium shells into the battlefield is a major provocation. Konstantin Gavrilov said at an Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe forum, and this is when the Abrams tanks and the Leopard tanks from Germany were announced. He says, quote, "We know that the Leopard 2 tanks, as well as the Bradley and Marder armored personnel carriers, are armored with armor-piercing shells with uranium warheads. Their use leads to contamination of the area, as was the case in the former Yugoslavia and Iraq. In the event that such ammunition for tanks produced in NATO countries is delivered to Kiev, we will consider this to be the use of a dirty bomb against Russia with all of the consequences that follow. So very stern warning from the Russians there. And, you know, the U.S. has really sought to downplay and cover up the long-lasting dangers of depleted uranium munitions for soldiers, for combatants, but also for local populations who are exposed to this in the years to come after the cessation of hostilities. The U.S. used depleted uranium munitions in Iraq in both the 1991 and 2003 invasions. It also used them in Yugoslavia and Bosnia and Kosovo in the 1990s And in 2015, most recently, it fired thousands of shells in Syria, in Islamic State-held territory, despite promises not to use it. So there are multiple studies that talk about the effects of these munitions. A 2013 study in Iraq found that, quote, the overall incidence of breast and lung cancer, leukemia, and lymphoma had doubled and even tripled. Jeez. Again, I don't want to show the images of the deformities in babies, but, you know, you can just look on Google and they're everywhere and they're absolutely horrifying. Back in 1999, the Guardian quoted a research scientist saying that he expects 10,000 extra deaths in Kosovo because of depleted uranium. So there's no shortage of evidence. And it seems to me uncontroversial to say that this is extremely dangerous in the long term for the civilian populations in the Donbass, you know, where this will be used, which of course explains why we get this stern warning from the Russian side.
Well, that was one of the biggest things that stood out to me upon hearing the news of this is how will this be used against the civilian population? Because to this point, we know that NATO-directed HIMARS attacks have been hitting civilian populations inside the Donbass. So they're using American Western weapons to attack civilian populations, apartment complexes, hospitals, all sorts of civilian residential areas. So how will these be used? I can only imagine that these are going to be used, would be used in civilian populations, and what kind of a lasting effect. I mean, we're talking still the irradiating effects of these many, many years later in these civilian populations and in Iraq and Kosovo and these other areas.
Exactly. I mean, it's not a secret at this point, and we've seen the horrible videos of, you know, standard munitions that are used on the downtown civilian areas anywhere in the Donbass. And so, you know, presumably that's exactly what's going to happen with these depleted uranium munitions. And of course, one of the bigger goals is regime change in Russia. So if this continues to escalate and Ukraine is launching attacks inside Russia, is this going to be used on Russian territory, which of course the Russians would see as a direct attack from the West, from NATO, from the United States? So it's just extremely dangerous, and you know, there's no reporting about this. The only person who has looked into this is Dilyana Gaitancheva, again, the Bulgarian journalist, and her article is published in Bulgarian. And so our corporate press that's beholden to the Pentagon and the military-industrial complex doesn't want to look at this at all. So, you know, it's basically Dilyana Gaitancheva and us at Redacted that are going to report on this.
And Dilyana also was one of the first to really dive deep into the bio labs inside of Ukraine as well, and into Moldova as well. So she was doing, and really got kicked out and bullied and pushed out by members of parliament for doing this reporting. And some of the reasons we actually know that this stuff is happening is because of her work. Some of the only reporting I've actually heard about some of the depleted uranium related to the armor itself and the exo armor that's on these Abrams tanks, that they added depleted uranium to the armor back, I think, in the late 1980s. These updated Abrams tanks the ones being sent to Ukraine apparently are going to have that armor removed, from some of the reporting that I've been seeing, because as we've heard from here on the show from Colonel Douglas McGregor and others, they don't want those types of weapons to fall into the hands of the Russians, which is ultimately what will happen. So this sort of more advanced Leopard armor that's on the Leopard tanks from Germany will be sort of downgraded to a lesser tank capability, and so too will the Abrams tank be downgraded without this depleted uranium armor. But we're not talking about the armor here, right? I mean, we're specifically talking about the munitions that will be used.
Exactly, yeah. These contract tenders are for munitions specifically, even though in the background, that White House press briefing, they were asked about the cages, the armor on these tanks as well, and the White House official wouldn't say anything either way, but only because of Dilyana Gaitancheva finding these contract tenders in the federal procurement register, do we even know about this? So So, you know, that's the origin of this story in the first place. And her reporting has on the BioLab, she did an incredible documentary where she went to Georgia into the Luger. She was basically checking out the looking into the Luger Research Center and showing how basically there were biological experiments going on under and being transported under the cover of diplomatic personnel. So really recommend everyone look at her work on that too.
So Dan, we've had a number of experts here on the show saying that it doesn't matter what tanks we throw into the mix, what weapons we throw into the mix, this war is essentially over. All that's left is the drag out rest of this and how many people will be used as cannon fodder till this grinds to a complete halt. So it really comes down to how these will be used against the civilian population and what sort of effects these will have. And if you just want to, this is exactly what the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says. And I just want to quote this because it's so really disturbing about depleted uranium. It says, if depleted uranium is ingested or inhaled, it's a serious health hazard. Alpha particles directly affect living cells and can cause permanent kidney damage. And again, it's twice or three times the strength of steel. So they're using these, of course, to try to pierce Russian tanks and body armor, etc. But how will these be used in the civilian population, I think, is ultimately the biggest concern, because it doesn't seem like that these are going to have much effect on the battlefield at all. Russia will be very aware of where these munitions are being delivered and go right after them, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I mean, and then, you know, another question comes to mind for me is the soldiers that handle them, that are exposed to them, what are the long-term consequences for those, for combatants on both sides? There have been, you know, studies about that too. So all around, it's again, like you said, not going to turn the tide of the war. But it is going to pose serious long-term problems for anyone involved, whether soldier or civilian, and you know, for the communities who are living in the battlefield and are exposed to this. It's just, you know, could be many years of cancer and leukemia and all kinds of horrors.
And the mainstream media remains silent on this once again. It'd be interesting to watch and see if any corporate media stands up and actually asks a question of the White House press secretary about this more specifically. But they won't, because they're just stenographers right now. Dan, always great to see you. Thank you so much for this report. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Clayton.
Thank you, Dan. I really appreciate it. It's an unbelievable story to think that this could be allowed to happen again and again and again. And again, it's going to happen in the civilian population. It's going to be attacking, you know, they're going to be used to attack buildings and residential playgrounds and areas, which they've been doing for the past 9 years.
Right.
So, like, this is going to be any different.
Yeah. And again, well, he has.
I think we learned this lesson. It wasn't Desert Storm. What was the one for like Freedom Eagle or something like that? You know, like the first operation in Iraq when they started using these depleted uranium shells. I mean, I remember being in like middle school or like a freshman hearing about how awful this was for people, and they were discovering it there. Like, the fact that we still have this around and we're still considering using it just blows my mind. It's like, we just do not learn. We refuse to learn.
No, we'll never learn. And we can. And but I also, too, I just love the idea that we're going to send them tanks, but not the good ones. Like, the reason it's going to take us long to send these Abrams tanks is because we have to remove the armor that's three times as strong as the armor we're going to send them. So we'll send you some tanks, but we're going to take off the depleted uranium armor that we affixed them with in the late 1980s to make them three times as strong as steel, because we don't want them to fall in the hands of Russians. So we know where these are going to wind up, so we just don't want to give you the good tanks. Same thing with Germany and the Leopard tanks.
We're sending them the knockoffs, the Abrams with two A's and two M's. So
get your Chanel sunglasses over here. It's Chanel with a K.
What was it's like the competing Transformer brand. GoBots. It was the GoBots.
GoBots.
They're getting the GoBots.
Well, you know, version. Some would argue that GoBots were first, right? Weren't GoBots first, and Transformers were the knockoff?
I don't know.
If I know my nerd history,
One of them transform better than the others? Like, is there one that you would want in a war and one that you wouldn't?
GoBots? Transform. You would definitely want some of the. I don't know. The Dinobots.
Okay, this metaphor doesn't work.
You'd want the dinobots.
Sorry, I wasted your time.
Okay. I appreciate it. I appreciate the time waste. Anytime you can pull up an 80s reference cartoon, I'm happy to be there. I noticed that, yes, during Dan's interview there, again, YouTube went down. So who knows what's going on with YouTube? But everyone's, you know, on Rumble. Rumble seems to be fine today, but I don't know if they're trying to suppress these stories or shadow ban or who the hell knows. It's like crazy what's going on.
Well, because the YouTube studio is running fine, so I think it's YouTube.
Yeah,
player,
we can't see
guess.
Anything happening. Yeah.
Anyway, so thank you guys. All right, well, we've got more news to get to here on this Taco Monday.
It's not Taco Monday. So I had planned to like have a celebratory meal tonight that was like Philly based, sort of
like cheesesteaks and
so
stuff.
I made meatball subs to like celebrate the Phillies, and then I had all the ingredients
the
and
Eagles,
I'm like the Eagles and but we ate them anyway.
Yeah,
we'll eat meatball Monday.
Whether the Eagles win or not, we'll still eat a meatball sub.
Meatball Monday.
All right. Yeah, we got more news to get to. We're going to talk about these protests in Ethiopia. We're also going to look at, hey, you don't have a vaccine? Sorry, no social security check for you. We'll tell you where that's happening. But first, we're going to tell you about our friends over at Indeed. You know, the thing about running your own business is that every single hire counts. No hiring partner understands that like Indeed right now. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Don't spend hours on multiple job sites, like looking for candidates with all the right skills, when you can do all of this with Indeed. So many of our family and friends use Indeed for their businesses because it just cuts down on all of the time, attention, and time wasted trying to search for candidates. They'll do it for you. You can find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like the Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews, all right there. If you hate waiting, Indeed's U.S. data shows that over 80% of Indeed's employers find quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match their job description the moment that they sponsor a job. Like, that's how fast it is. Indeed does all the hard work for you. Join over 3 million businesses worldwide using Indeed to hire great talent fast. Indeed knows when you're growing your own business, you have to make every dollar count. That's why with Indeed, you only pay for qualified applications that match your must-have job requirements. So Indeed.com/redacted is the place to go. Visit Indeed.com/redacted to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/redacted. Again, Indeed.com/redacted. Terms and conditions apply. There's a cost per application. Pricing is not available for everyone. If you need to hire, then you need Indeed.
People in Ethiopia are being barred from social media in order to lock down protests over a massive church divide. This has caused massive problems for the prime minister, who has been able to keep a fairly peaceful relationship with the church during his administration. But the protests have become bloody, and reports are that over 30 people have been killed. It comes after a coup was staged inside the Ethiopian Orthodox Church by what I'm going to, for now, called breakaway bishops. They formed their own assembly because they said that they had been denied the use of their language inside the church for some time and took over leadership and excommunicated church leaders. This caused a massive uprising made worse when Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed said that both sides have a valid point. Many took this to mean that the government supports the church uprising. Now, experts say there's been a lack of interest in this internationally, and it's a really important story, so we brought in an expert to explain. My guest today is Sinait Sine. She's a researcher and the director of a genocide prevention organization in Ethiopia. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Natalie, for having me here. In terms of what you've just, briefed earlier, it is true. There seemed to be a fairly okay relationship between, since the reform with this prime minister, the reformed government took over 4 years ago. But ever since, different institutions have been meddled with by the government. So even if it seemed like a church divide, it was actually an imposter group that is propped up by the government itself.
Clarify what you're saying? So you're saying these breakaway bishops, for lack of a better term, because I want to be sensitive and not label them anything that I don't understand completely. So you're saying that they were propped up by the Ahmed government?
Exactly. There are different indicators. We have officers on the ground feeding us information. As soon as this new group ordained their own patriarch outside the canon of the church itself without any procedure, protection was removed from the official Orthodox Church officials. There were a special protection given to this group. They were also helped by federal and also Oromo region security forces to seize church grounds. And the other issue is that the major reason that this group gives is that they have been there was language-based discrimination. But the reality is the church, just like any religion, has been evangelizing using different many languages, the ethnic languages of the country, as well as even foreign languages. So they have been actually jailing people who served in Oromia and other languages even before this debacle has started. So this is definitely an agenda by the government to control these religious institutions. Similar issue happened with the Islamic Council, where the government meddled and placed the person that they wanted into the leadership. So this is a similar a pattern that we see government trying to control people through the institutions that they trust.
Now, you wrote up a summary of this, and you said that when the breakaway bishops were coming towards the church, the Orthodox Church rang bells, which people in this area knew to mean come and protect the church. And when they came, they were fired upon. Is that an accurate description?
That is an accurate description. This is an ages-long tradition where churches ring the bell whenever there is, an attack. It could be on the country, it could be on the area, but usually people just flock, usually unprotected, empty-handed. And we have seen also other instances where security officials were actually physically abusing priests. And it is within their teaching that they cannot fight back. They cannot defend themselves. So that's how horrific the situation is. And this is just really one chapter in the very sad situation in the country going on. Usually when such non-state actors who usually at the background are propped up by the government cause issue, the government comes in and acts as if they're the mediator, and they play both sides. This both-sidism has been really part of the problem that made it very difficult for victims to get justice. Similar to what's going on right now, this is an attack on the Ethiopian Orthodox Church worshippers. There has been an ongoing ethnic-based attack, specifically against ethnic Amharas and other groups as well. And similarly, the government always comes up with such both-sidism argument that they're trying to find extremists on both sides and stop this, which makes it very difficult to get accountability and justice.
Well, you even I think posited that some of the snipers were either government supported or government actors. So why would the prime minister allow his government to do this when he's otherwise had a peaceful relationship with the church?
That is a very good question, Natalie, because these are the things that are never being asked, or the prime minister usually doesn't give press conferences. It's been a long time since the reform. There is no direct accountability. Usually we get, one-way speeches. So these are the things that should be asked, because if you are not meddling in this, and these are two specific parts of the church, then there would be no reason for security forces. These are taxpayer, supported institutions, both regional and federal forces, to shoot at civilians. So there hasn't been any direct explanation why security forces have been firing on unarmed civilians.
And this seems like maybe the most obvious question, which makes me feel stupid to ask it, but I will anyway. If the breakaway bishops had sincere goal to worship in a different language, why wouldn't they be able to coexist or start their own sect of orthodoxy? Why do they need to usurp? I don't know if you have an answer, but it seems the most obvious, like, why not coexistence, especially in a church?
No, that is actually a very good question, because there were times when in the past, the Ethiopian Orthodox Church is a conservative church. And when followers want to feel like, reforming, there was something called a Tahadzur church. Like, so people, who felt like they need a reform, they broke away and set up their own church. This is absolutely, there is, the constitution allows religious freedom, so people can actually set up their own sect if they need to. This is not the real issue behind the debacle, however. What was needed was the government. This is a government-propped group that required to take over the actual church so that they can control the masses. And we do know that because some of these bishops, we've now learned, that have been really coerced into this. So they've been trying to apologize and get back to the church, but they were barred in many ways, in many different ways, being blackmailed, being held without their will. So we're seeing this now that that's not the case. And the other quick indicator that this is also not the case is that they have been really jailing, especially at the Oromo Regional Government, they have been jailing Ethiopian Orthodox Church priests that serve the people in Oromia, in the Oromo language. Mm. So it really defies the purpose if you're jailing people who are already giving that service and claim that you're not given that service.
Right, exactly. Now, this weekend, both sides were scheduled to hold competing protests, but the government then removed internet access in order to tamp down those protests. So did they in fact not happen? And a follow-up question to that, I'll let you answer them together. How large are both sides supporting the breakaway and supporting the church?
Thank you. So you're right. A rally was called by the church leadership, by the synod. And that was on a condition that the church, if the government doesn't get the church grounds protected, if they, don't stop persecuting their priests and the congregation in general, and it was all conditions related to the current issue, in a very interesting way that the other group also called a rally. And I think that's made so that they can use it as a pretext to bar the rally, because then they would say, okay, this is, an issue of security.
It's dangerous, right.
Violence might come, yeah. But then immediately the security task force that has the defense, the police and the intelligence services announced that they would not allow the rally. Now, between this, something happened. The prime minister asked to meet the synod. The synod went to the to his office, and there were a lot of promises given. So because of that, the church, being responsible and trying to avoid bloodshed, postponed the rally, not canceled it, but postponed, because this happened before. The government promises something. It could be political groups, civic groups, or religious institutions. They cancel the rally they called, and the momentum gets cooled down. But then the government goes back on their word. So because of that, now they postponed it, but they didn't cancel it. So people are attentively waiting for direction from the synod. In terms of followers, I mean, it's amazing to me that the international, especially the mainstream media, didn't cover this, because a few months back, because of the war in the north, whatever it is in Ethiopia used to be covered. But it seems all the other, issue that we're facing in the south has not, or in the center, has not been covered. But basically, it has been sea of people, like even for normal church services, people just really felt attacked. They wanted to protect their church. So people went out in hundreds of thousands. So the scene was really amazing. Nowhere near that kind of following for the imposter group.
Oh, okay. All right. Because, yeah, you can't tell from looking at images, because the media tells you that people are supporting both sides. And they looked like, especially the ones I saw with the candles, fairly peaceful. So you just have to wonder. Now, this weekend, the prime minister has said for one of the most direct, blame that he has assigned to the United States, said that the United States is propping up the rebels in Tigray. And I know that these are unrelated issues, but this then becomes a story of competing government intervention, where there's government intervention in the church, and then there's foreign influence in the region for, you know, what is called a genocide and what is sometimes not called a genocide. Do you see these two things as related, or are they two separate stories that we should talk about separately, which I'm fine to do?
No, I mean, there is some kind of relationship to what happens in Ethiopia currently, because at the end of the day, at the center of it is always this government, this administration, who was trusted by the people 4 years ago, who has completely turned that upside down, has been really lying to the people. This specific accusation that you just told me now, 2 years ago when the war started, people might have maybe believed it, but it went behind the people. There was no transparency when they started, those peace deal negotiations with the TPLF, the Tigray People's Liberation Front, and everything was one-sided. Even in the precondition for the peace deal, they said forces to leave the Tigray region, but whereas there are still TPLF forces in the Amhara region, in the WAG area, and in Afar region, in Zone 2 area, they're still putting people under siege. There's still starvation. So it seems like they're already back dealing with the TPLF, the government itself. They have a series of meetings that are not transparent for the people that are being done. It used to be outside the country, but now inside the country, week after week. So I don't think that holds water. And on top of that, there is always this issue that people are dying hundreds, right now about 150, averaging 150 a week in the past 6 months, in the west of Ethiopia, and also in the south of Ethiopia, in the Amhara region, in Oromo region. And all this is because of the Oromo Liberation, forces, army, that is kind of attached with the Oromo Liberation Front, that is legally operating from Addis Ababa, that has cabinet ministers that work with the prime minister, but at the same time the army is supposed to be separate. So the world has not covered this part as well, and thousands and thousands have died because of this. It's very hard to pin everything on foreign countries when actually the issue is our government itself, and that doesn't mean that other countries might not play their hand based on their national interest.
Right. I understand that it's, of course, going to be much more complicated than that. So I appreciate your reaction to that, because it's just not as easy as, like, who is the bad guy here, right? Which is why I wanted to be sensitive to this story, but also understand what's going on when you see a persecution of a religion and freedom of communication, and people, you know, just having their phones turned off. I read somewhere that, requests for VPNs went up like 1,400% in Ethiopia so that they could get on the internet. And that's a whole other component. So thank you for joining me to break these things down. I really, really appreciate it. Where can we find you to continue to follow your work?
Oh, thank you very much. So we have a volunteer-based organization, Genocide Prevention in Ethiopia, and we do give out very frequent updates, atrocity reports, red alerts, and early warnings at GP Ethiopia. So that is the handle for Twitter, and the website and other information can be found there.
Okay, great. Well, thank you again for your time. It was really a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Natalie. Thank you for having me.
I mean, that's a website you can get behind, like an anti-genocide website. Like,
I am against that.
You want to support something in your life? Like, yeah, how about we support no genocide? That'd be a good place for us to start. The fact that we even have to have this conversation in 2023 is disgusting.
Yeah. When people ask me my politics at a party, that's where I start.
Yeah. I start with no genocide. So any country that supports genocide, which is actively killing people in war zones, yeah, we're against that on this show. So thank you. Thank you for her and a great interview as well. If you're tuned in, then you know that experts are predicting a massive recession, and we are headed for a lot of trouble. We're seeing a lot of layoffs right now, and I just saw some amazing credit card data today from Bank of America showing that from this January to the previous January, Americans went up 5% more in this January over last January in credit card usage. That should tell you about what Americans have right now as far as savings. And what we're facing right now is in terms of the U.S. dollar. Last year was terrible for most investors. I mean, $35 trillion taken out of the equities market. Really, really awful. 2023 could even be worse than all of that. That is, unless you were smart and you invested in gold or silver and you were protected from those losses while other investments fell. If the experts are right and we get hit with a recession, 2023 is looking even better for gold and silver investors. If you're interested in investing in gold, the folks at Lear Capital will help you start purchasing precious metals or converting part of your IRA or 401k into a gold and silver IRA. Call Lear Capital today at 1-800-613-3557 or go to LearRedacted.com. There are a lot of gold companies out there, but Lear has over 25 years experience, thousands of five-star reviews, and a risk-free guarantee that gives you 24 hours to review your purchase before you commit to it. So maybe you buy some gold coins or silver, and then the next day you wake up and you're like, no, I'm doubting myself, I'm getting buyer's remorse, I'd rather be in the U.S. dollar. I don't know who would do that, but if you did, they have a 24-hour, risk-free time that you can say, okay, no, I'm not going to do it. Lear Capital is a top choice when buying gold and silver. So here's the 800 number on your screen, 1-800-613-3557, or go to LearRedacted.com. Again, that's 1-800-613-3557, or go to LearRedacted.com to get your free gold kit. And you can also qualify for up to $15,000 in free metals with a qualified purchase. So again, 1-800-613-3557, or go to LearRedacted.com. We want to thank you so much for watching today's show. We had our intentions to do an additional story on the show, but we had all sorts of technical issues today. We don't know what was going on. YouTube was taking down our live stream and cutting out parts of our live stream. And then there was computer crashes and who knows what was happening today. It was a weird, funky day. So we had a story we intended to do at the end of today's show. We're going to hold that for tomorrow. It's not going anywhere. It's still a poignant story. We will cover that on the show. So we apologize for whatever weirdness was happening on YouTube, but we are going to release we have the full live stream here for you. And hopefully you can join us tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We have a daily newsletter. I would love for you all to subscribe to that. If you go to redacted.inc, you can subscribe, and we'll actually put a link in that newsletter for the live show. So in case anyone misses it, we'll have a link directly there for you. Much love to all of you guys. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Bye now.